The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
It's the second hour of the program, and certainly a lot to digest as we are waiting for Brian Kelly to arrive in Baton Rouge. We will have that for you when he does. And right now, let's talk to Matt Fortuna from The Athletic, who has been covering all these stories for us. But Matt, thanks for the time. Great to have you on. Let's start with Brian Kelly. We've reacted to it for an hour. We're curious what you think and why you think it happened.
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me. Yeah, I mean, I like to think of myself as not a naive guy when it comes to this business, but to say I'm shocked would be an understatement. And that's a sentiment that's echoed, I think, throughout South Bend and throughout the Notre Dame fan base. I mean, not a lot of people saw this coming until reports from my colleague Bruce Feldman initially yesterday early afternoon said that LSU was seriously courting Brian Kelly. But even then, the sense I got from folks around Notre Dame was, all right, this is a leverage play. Whatever, he'll come back, right? And obviously, he didn't. He is, if he's not touched down in Baton Rouge already, he is almost there as we speak. And it's just a pretty shocking development. I mean, look, Brian Kelly. Name gets thrown around for big jobs year after year. That's what happens when you've had the success that he's had at Notre Dame. That's what's happened when you've had the career climb that he's had throughout this business. It reached the point where 8 days ago at a press conference, he had to categorically deny that he was in talks with USC. And he even went so far as to say he doesn't envision himself coaching anywhere other than Notre Dame ever again. Obviously, things have changed since then. He ended up in LSU, and I got to be honest with you. I mean, from a culture fit, I know, I think he'll win there. He's a great coach. I know you can win big at LSU, as so many coaches before him have. It's still pretty shocking. I always thought if he was going to leave, rivalry notwithstanding, USC was the one where I think both myself and I think everyone who knows Brian Kelly and knows that program well would say, you could picture him on the LA sideline. A lot easier than you could in Baton Rouge. And obviously something has changed in the last week or so, and LSU's got their guy.
And at some point, everybody will spin the story to their own advantage. I mean, there have even been stories making the rounds that Brian Kelly was inquiring about other jobs. And that's always difficult to really get an accurate read on. But in the past, has he ever come close to either a college job or an NFL job?
Well, in 2012, days after losing to Alabama, or I guess January 2013, days after losing to Alabama in the national championship game, he met with the Philadelphia Eagles, and that was at, if not the 1 yard line, pretty darn close. I mean, the entire Notre Dame fan base and program was waiting with bated breath to figure out what he was going to decide to do, and he ultimately decided to come back. And I think it burned a lot of goodwill early on. I mean, to the point where here we are, almost 9 years later, and he still has to answer, or still has had in the past, to answer questions about, his passion for Notre Dame and whether he wants to be somewhere else and so forth. And I got to be honest, I thought he was, if not genuine, not, I didn't think he was lying when he said he wanted to be there. He had worked really hard for a very long time to get that program to a place where it is right now, where they're having the winningest 5-year stretch in program history. They have won 10 or more games 5 years in a row. They've made two of the last three college football playoffs, and hey, they might make this year's if a few things break right for them in the other games on Saturday, which is a whole other layer to this conversation that I'm still trying to wrap my head around, because it's just crazy to me that this team is one of six teams that theoretically could win a national championship this year, and their head coach just up and left them.
I'm curious, Matt, about what he thought of his ability to win a title at Notre Dame. But, he had the two games with Georgia that were split up by a year, I believe, a home and home. I think he's played LSU in a bowl game. He's taken on Alabama a couple of times. Do you think he just looked at what he had, and I know the roster is getting better, and determined, I just can't win a title at Notre Dame. So yeah, if I miss a playoff appearance, so what? I want the big prize.
It was very telling to me, Paul, in the introduction video on LSU's website when they made this announcement official today. There's a quote from Brian Kelly in there. It's like, quote, the expectation for me was to be a legitimate contender for championships, end quote. And, I think that was by design, right? I mean, despite Notre Dame going to the college football playoff two of the last 3 years and maybe three of the last 4 years, there was a sizable gap there. You can't – Brian Kelly is a really good coach. He's a really good CEO. He has made a great career for himself and his programs in many respects by developing talent, out-scheming his opposition, and hiring good coaches. And all those are prerequisites for being a great college football coach. But as you know, especially down in SEC country, once you get to that level, once you're in the playoff and you're swinging with Georgia, Alabama, Clemson when they have Trevor Lawrence, or Deshaun Watson, there's no playbook that can beat talent. And Notre Dame, whether it's their inability or their naivety, I think if you ask 10 different people, you get 10 different explanations there about why they haven't recruited to the level of other programs that are in the playoff every year. But whatever that reason may be, there was a talent gap, and it was a pretty sizable talent gap. And that's not to take away from or to undo everything that that program had accomplished under Brian Kelly. It's easy to forget just how bad that program was when he got there. I mean, we were talking about Notre Dame in 2009 pretty similarly to the way we're talking about Nebraska right now. And no one remembers that because they've had so much success in the last decade plus under Brian Kelly. And to his credit, hiring Marcus Freeman, making some other sharp hires on and off the field, they are recruiting very, very well. In fact, I would argue this year's coaching job by him may have been his best in his time at Notre Dame. When you look at the roster, they had a lot of injuries. They had a lot of freshmen step up in key places, and they lost one game. This is probably an 8-4 roster, and Brian Kelly and his staff made them 11-1. And maybe, well, not Brian Kelly, but maybe whoever's left can take them even further if they get into the playoffs. So it's been a very impressive job by Brian Kelly, and it makes it all the more surprising that he's leaving for LSU.
Matt Fortuna with us from The Athletic. Matt, all of us have watched Brian Kelly, but not as closely as you have. If you had to describe to LSU fans who know him by reputation but don't really know the ins and the outs of what he is good at, how would you describe his philosophy to college football?
You know, some of his assistants have told us in the past he's the best off-the-field coach in the country. He is a perfect CEO, a perfect face of the program, a perfect guy to embrace all the potential trappings that come with being the figurehead of a major organization, whether it's Notre Dame, LSU, you name it. Let's not forget, this guy has a background in politics. He is very politically savvy. Everything I've gathered over the last 24 hours is him and Scott Woodward are going to be best friends. Like, they are going to hit it off like no other. It's easy to see how they fell in love with each other during this courtship. He has made outstanding hires on and off the field, particularly in recent years. Almost all of his coaches have gone on to be head coaches elsewhere to varying degrees of success. And he's done a fantastic job of not worrying about the small stuff, keeping the main thing, not being overwhelmed by, some stuff that ultimately doesn't matter. And believe me, at Notre Dame, there's a lot of stuff that can bring you down that ultimately doesn't matter. And I think any of his predecessors who sat in that chair will tell you just that. I remember talking to Mike Gray about this. He's now going on, I think, his sixth football coach during his 20-something years as a head men's basketball coach at Notre Dame. And, you know, he has in the past said something to that effect, right? Like, this guy just knows what's important. He knows what it takes to last at this place. He's not going to get dragged down by stuff that ultimately doesn't matter. And you've heard we've all heard stories from Charlie Weiss, of everyone else who've been there who would just lose it over things that ultimately weren't worth losing it over. So Brian Kelly keeps the public at a healthy distance. He keeps the media at a healthy distance. And while that sometimes makes our jobs a little bit more difficult, as you know, Paul, it's hard to argue with the results because at least until last week or last night even, he was in a really good place mentally, as was his program.
Matt, finally, what happens next for Notre Dame?
It's a great question. Again, this is so ridiculous and so unprecedented, right? We're talking about a team that might be unveiled as one of the four best teams in the country Sunday. And 9 times out of 10, I would say you need to think, especially at a program of Notre Dame stature, you need to think big picture. You can't make a quick reactionary, quick fix hire. I know the program's in a good place and it's set up for someone to come in right now and win immediately. But you need to think long term. I think there are a lot of qualified coaches who are going to be begging to get in the door for an interview for this job. But the reality of the situation is the timeline is a timeline. And there are very influential people at Notre Dame who want Marcus Freeman to be their next head coach. That's their defense coordinator. And right now, he has an outstanding offer from Brian Kelly and LSU to become the highest paid defensive coordinator in the country. And if he can't get assurances from Notre Dame, and I don't know right now which way they're leaning, he probably won't have much of a choice but to take that job from LSU. And if that happens, now we restart the conversation, right? Because, again, if they make the playoff, what's your short-term solution to a team that's competing for a national championship? Long-term, I think Luke Fickell and Matt Campbell would both be home runs. I think one's more likely than the other, given the fact that Luke Fickell has a championship of his own to chase right now, and I just can't see him letting that become a distraction and take focus off his team, nor can I see Notre Dame just quietly waiting in the weeds for his season to end while they miss out on maybe some other candidates.
We know Marcus Freeman was a candidate last year at LSU and other places. What is the driving force? I'm forgetting his reputation. I don't want to discount that. But what is the driving force behind influential people pushing him to get the job now?
I think he has elevated that program in an off-field standpoint and a recruiting standpoint in a way that they had not been elevated before. He's given them a nice kick in the rear end, for lack of a better analogy. I'm not saying they were complacent before, but so many times on signing day, when, you know, whether it's Brian Kelly or an assistant or whomever would get up there, a lot of times it would amount to excuses, right? We're only allowed to recruit these people. We have academic restrictions. We're doing fine on the field. Stop worrying about off the field, et cetera, et cetera. Marcus Freeman has gone in there and basically said, like, are you kidding me? I could walk into any high school in the country right now and have access to all the talent I want because I've got this ND polo on my chest. And while it was a little rough early on this season on the field for that defense, almost losing to Florida State, almost losing to Toledo, they have absolutely course corrected in this past month. They went three straight games without giving up a touchdown. They have been pretty darn dominant, and I know the competition hasn't been the elite of the elite, but the improvements from week 1 to week 12 were astronomical. And by the way, all this happened without Kyle Hamilton, who's going to be a top five draft pick in a couple of months. So he's proving it on the field right now. I would say he's already proven it off the field. Now it's a matter of winning over the people in charge there to convince them that he's not just a short-term solution for Notre Dame right now. He's got a long-term plan and vision for this program.
Matt Fortuna, the National College Football Reporter for The Athletic. A great job. Thank you, Matt. We appreciate it. We're heading to a break. More to come.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we welcome all of you back here. We're continuing to take your phone calls. We're also waiting on the arrival with Brian Kelly in Baton Rouge. We do not know where he's been all day. We know he was in South Bend this morning speaking to his team for 2 minutes. Where in the world has Brian Kelly been since 7 o'clock this morning? It's now 4:20 Eastern time, 3:20 in Baton Rouge. Maybe he – I have no idea where he's been. I know where I would be if I just made $95 million. I'd be on a beach somewhere. Let's continue with more phone calls. Derek is up next in Los Angeles. Hello, Derek. Derek, are you there? I guess all the buzz over – Lincoln Riley has burned the phone system out in L.A. County. James is in Texas. Hello, James.
Hello.
Yeah, it could be that I'm just not hearing. Maybe I'll try one more. Chief, is in Ohio. Hello, Chief.
Yeah, second time caller, long time listener.
Great.
Want to talk about the college football playoff system. I think like the last 4 weeks, it's been a waste of time. I think it's just a money grab, and a computer system would be so much better. It's been used in this college atmosphere.
Well, Chief, I don't mean to interrupt you, but we had a computer system. That's why we're now using humans. Computers only look at numbers. They don't look at the human element, like whether Notre Dame has a coach or not. Okay, let's head to Baton Rouge and see what's happening there at the Baton Rouge International Airport. It looks like the coach skipping down the stairs, waiting to be greeted by LSU personnel, I'm sure. Looks like Mrs. Kelly. Let's see who else is on this plane. Why is Augie from New Orleans on the plane? I just noticed him coming down the stairs. Scott Woodward. That's Scott Woodward there in the brown sport coat on the extreme left. Wouldn't it have been funny if Coach O had been there to greet him? I don't know. Maybe I just have a warped sense of humor today. We are just watching this. Kelly carrying his own bag. I like that. He's a man of the people now that he's in Louisiana. That could be the president over there greeting him. So we'll remember when Nick Saban arrived? That lady I was about to describe her in an unflattering way. I'm sure some of you in Alabama remember that. It was quite a scene, and she immediately went over to greet Coach Saban. Let's get back to the calls here in the present, and talk to James, who is in Tennessee. Hello, James.
Hello, Paul. How you doing today?
We are well, thank you.
I'm going to take a break from all the Brian Kelly stuff and talk about Josh Heupel real quick. And no, it's not about speculation of him going back home. I want to really talk about it, and I've been doing it with the local radio shows here in Nashville. I live right outside Nashville. And if you look at Tennessee, and Paul, I know you've noticed this because you're always got your finger on the pulse when it comes to these things. If you look at the talent and the depth that Tennessee has this year, and look at what they had last year with a different coach, which I'm not even going to mention his name. This coach, this young coach, has gotten more out of less in terms of wins, in terms of offensive production. And I think the locker room, I'll just go ahead and say it. I think Jeremy Pruitt never had the locker room with all the mess with Jared Garantano, all the drama with that. I don't think he ever had the locker room, and those guys were not really motivated to go win for him. My point is, that Josh Heupel has won more games with less talent and less depth. And maybe you've pointed that out before. I don't get to watch you every day because I'm not always off this time of day, but I wanted to point that out.
Well, James, I'm glad you did. And you're right. The people that I talk to and with whom I trust in college football circles all think he has done a phenomenal job for the reasons that you stated. He did not have much talent. He got a transfer from Virginia Tech that helped him at quarterback. He made adjustments on the fly, and to get to 7 wins really is an extraordinary record. And it really, what's interesting is it could have been better. That shows you how well he did. Thank you for the call. I do appreciate it very, very much. Richard is up next in Kansas City. Hello, Richard.
Hello, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I haven't heard anybody address the question of who should coach the Irish in their next game. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it depends on which game that is. If it's a college football playoff game, then we get into a different conversation than a bowl game. But once they settle on the coach, I'm sure they'll come up with right now they don't know who's on the staff, so. If Marcus Freeman leaves and Tommy Rees leaves, then you're going down the pecking order. So I don't think that's particularly important. I think bowl games once you get below the top tier, often have interim coaches in them. Thank you for the call. Jim is in San Francisco. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Rob Todd from the Alabama Association in San Francisco. We got a sports bar here. Big crowd every week. You'd be amazed at the Alabama fans in San Francisco.
That is cool.
Making a point and let you, comment too and your thoughts. I think Alabama's identity has been proven already this year. To make some great big expectation on them changing this Saturday would be a mistake. I think the game plan should be go Matt Corral on Georgia. Put the game in Bryce Young's hand. 40 to 50 passes, run it 20 times. Don't wait so long in the pocket, take off. Put it all on Bryce Young. Even let him call the play. And I heard that he called that pass route with Mechie, called him to the side. I don't know if that's true, and say, hey, run this. So I think, we know Alabama's identity. I'd say just put it all on Bryce Young.
Well, Jim, I think Nick Saban in putting a game plan together with O'Brien and Golding knows that. He can't, not to reiterate the definition of insanity for the 18,000th time, but he knows the performance that they put on the field against Auburn is not going to cut it against Georgia. Joel is up next in Florida. Hello, Joel.
Hi, Paul. Great show.
Thank you.
A couple of things. I was very surprised Auburn did not go for two in the first overtime. What did you think?
I was dumbfounded, and I was screaming at Brian Harsin, but he obviously did not hear me. To me, there are times when you're conservative. Maybe at home you'll take a few more chances. This team was 6-5. There was nothing to lose.
10-point underdog.
And I thought it was, of many bad calls that he's had this year, that was by far his worst.
If he had called the play that worked on the next overtime, they win the game. It was a great call, that throwback.
T.J. Finley. Hey, thanks for the call. Listen, I think Harsin's done a good job this year, but some of his calls have been inexplicable. And I watched Tommy Tuberville do that once when he was at Ole Miss in a game toward the end. I mean, you just go for broke. You have nothing to, I mean, if you lose, you lose. But every fan walking out of there goes, you know what? we gave it a shot. I mean, that when you blow a lead, when you give a game away, and not really giving it away, but letting it get away, and then you have a chance to win it, go for it. Everyone knows what the odds are, but you have a chance. I didn't think Alabama was going to lose that overtime once it got to that point. We are going to continue. Bruce Feldman in the next hour. His story yesterday about this time began to tell us of what was happening or could be happening in Baton Rouge. We'll talk to him in about 30 minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We welcome all of you back here as Brian Kelly has landed in Baton Rouge. He'll be formally introduced tomorrow afternoon. Ed is up next in Las Vegas. So hello, Ed. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Hello. Thank you very much for taking my call. I really
enjoyed
your show. I read on ESPN Online this morning about the Kelly contract, $95 million over 10 years plus incentives. And my question is, when you're not going to get $95 million over the next 10 years, what kind of incentives do you need to ask for, or does an employer even need to offer? I mean, I think the $95 million alone would be just about enough for me. But you're a lot more plugged into this.
Yeah, you would, Ed, you would be surprised how how some of these coaches work. And by the way, it's not really the coach. It's their agents. It's just standard operating procedure to throw a bunch of stuff in a contract. And what you don't know, because I haven't seen a copy, is whether that $95 million goes high or whether that's inclusive of X number of bonuses. But I really don't know. When you make $10 million a year, do you stop and look, you know, did I get the $750 bonus for winning my rivalry game or winning the division? I mean, I sincerely doubt Nick Saban has ever gone down to his athletic director and said, I just want to make sure I got the bonus for winning the SEC.
I can imagine. I mean, maybe instead of giving you one turkey at Thanksgiving, they give you two, or maybe they give you a turkey farm. I don't know.
I get it because it's not like I remember, I would get my paycheck and walk over to the bank and I'm studying it as I'm waiting online. I mean, these guys never, that money is just deposited somewhere, who knows where, but they're not sitting there going, I wonder what I've made through the first 11 months of the year.
Sure. Well, thanks very much for the info. Always enjoy your show. Thanks very much.
I did notice, I don't know if Lincoln's, Riley's contract's been publicly released yet, but one of the speculations by some media members included private airfare, not for him, because the head coach is always popping in the school plane or somebody else's plane, but private airfare. Service for his family to go, I guess, back to Oklahoma to go wherever they want to go, and that's a big deal. But I will say that at any place in the SEC, which you normally have, it used to be 50 years ago, all the car dealers were coming out of the woodwork. Hey, coach, will you drive my Chevrolet truck or my BMW? Now it. A guy like Nick Saban probably has 10 choices to use for private air service in addition to the school plane. The schools usually have access to two or three planes, but when recruiting, which is right now, I mean, you've got people going everywhere, and that's when you lean on alums to say, Coach, my plane's yours for as long as you need it. Can you imagine? I was booking a flight this afternoon to go somewhere next week, and I can't see Nick Saban at the Delta Airlines website waiting for it to refresh. Can you? Let's. Rumples is up next in Birmingham. Hello, Rumples.
How are you doing, Paul?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I think that Brian Kelly hire at LSU is a terrible hire. I think it's very similar to when Texas A&M snuck over to Alabama, stole Franchione. We had the whole the rope situation. Then he doesn't really address the team, and then he just secretly takes off and takes the job. I think it's a very similar situation to that.
Well, the one thing I'll say, Rumples, I remember that one very well, and it was one of the nastiest. But I've often wondered what a coach is supposed to do. I mean, he did it. He did meet with the team. It's not like he completely blew them off. And I mean, Nick Saban's departure from Michigan State to LSU wasn't really very good either. Remember, the stories are infamous. I've had Saban dispute them, but they sent the plane up to bring all his assistants back, and when he got there, Nick Saban was the only person on the plane.
Yeah, I agree. I just want to tell you what I think Alabama's issues are this year on the team is the 2020-2021 wide receiver groups. Usually when they're a freshman or a sophomore, they're a household name, and we really don't have a third option except for Slay Bolden. And I wish O'Brien would bring in Maiden and run some Wildcat to the outside on third and short, or just mix it up a little bit. I think that's kind of what – I think against Georgia we're going to have to run the ball to the outsides, and we're going to have to come up with something other than what we've been running. But that's just my thoughts, and I appreciate your
– Thanks, Ruffles. It's good to hear from you. Dudley is up next. Hello, Dudley. Go right ahead.
Hi, Paul. Second time caller. You and I talked about Coach Saban last year.
Right.
And I'm calling to say that I was so proud of the rant. I'm going to call it a rant. That he went on saying, you know, we work hard every day and our boys are doing the best that they can do. And I did a great big herky in my family room when he finished that speech, because I just thought it's something that everybody needs to hear. And I was just very proud of him.
Well, Dudley, one thing about Nick Saban, he is a master of the moment. I've never seen any coach, the only person I could even compare him to would be a couple of evangelists. But that's what they do. They formulate a message to deliver to their parishioners. But I'm sure Saban had thought about that, but it wasn't scripted. Yeah. I can assure you. And it was the talk of Auburn last weekend.
Well, and you knew it wasn't scripted because he got very emotional during that, and. But you and I talked about Nick last year. I had had him on a Delta charter, and he knew my husband was a big fan, and my husband had a terrible throat cancer and was dying. And all of a sudden at our house, we had a box from Alabama, and it was full of things. And I never even knew how Nick got the address here, but he and I just talked about the fandom of my husband, and he has passed, but my sons, we still are sitting in front of Alabama every Saturday, and with my oldest son said, Mom, look, Nick is telling the press. And I just was like, that's our Nick, that's what he does, and he does it the best. And I was just very proud of him because everything he said was true.
Well, Dudley, thanks again for calling and for sharing that story. It does make a lot of this that we talk about every day seem a little bit less important. You be well and have a great holiday, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
On a crazy Tuesday afternoon, you would think we would be leading you into the game Saturday, and we will. We'll be there Friday, of course. But today was quite extraordinary. Legend is up next. Hello, Legend.
What's going on, Coach Feinbaum? What's up, brother?
Just hiring and firing coaches, Legend.
Man, that's what you do, Paul. That's what you're known for, man. That's what you're known for. And I'm going to tell you what's going on, Paul. You want me to explain it to you?
Of course. That's why I called you.
This is Saban chasing. This is what this is, Paul. This is jealousy. This is envy. This is wanting to be what Alabama is. This is desperation, what it is, Paul. This is straight out desperation by teams in the SEC that sees us up on the mountaintop, brother. Up on the mountaintop with all the glory, all the rings, all the championship trophies. And they're willing to say anything, claim anything.
Hey, Legend, what?
Yes, sir.
Did I miss something? Did LSU go out and hire some junior high coach, or did they hire the coach at Notre Dame?
Who the hell cares about Brian Kelly? We done beat that dude senseless. Who cares about that 1990 pro offensive set, run up the middle, play action, Brian Kelly, Notre Dame offense, coming going to LSU. This is desperation. Only thing this is going to accomplish, Paul, is that LSU is going to have another coach in 3 or 4 years that they're going to be sending another $10 to $20 million check to every year. That's not their head coach. This is Saban chasing, baby. This is envy, jealousy. This is what it is, Paul. When it comes to, they want to be us, baby. They want to be us. And they're willing to do anything to be us, Paul. It's a
legend, you just came from behind and took 4 overtimes to beat Brian Harsin.
I don't care about that. We've lost 1 game in the last 2 years. So what? When they ring the bell for the heavyweight championship,
legend, will you be able to utter the same statement on Saturday night that we've lost 1 game in 2 years?
Hell yeah, I'm going to say it Saturday night. I ain't afraid of Georgia. I'm in the ring now, Georgia. Get your old yellow ass in the ring. If you think a Stetson Bennett team is impossible to beat, you ain't following sports the way I think
you are. You lost to Nick Calzada.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
I think I got his name right. It's been so long since I've said it.
It's Calzone, Paul.
Yeah, I almost
it's
said
Calzone.
That.
It's Calzone. But here's the thing about it, Paul. Here's the thing about it. Alabama is the king of kings. We're the godfather of college football. And, yes, we've had an off year. But this year reminds me of 1992 when we struggled. We beat Southern Miss 6-3 that year or whatever. And Georgia's the Miami Hurricanes. The media's done claimed them the champion of the world. But there's one freaking problem. The Muhammad Ali of college football is still in that freaking
Legend, I don't mean to be a historian here, but have you ever – checked on how Muhammad Ali's career ended?
We ain't quite there yet. That's about 10 years down the line.
He lost to Leon Sfinks. Then he beat Sfinks in the rematch. Then he lost to Larry Holmes. And then he lost to Trevor Burbick.
Yeah, we ain't going to go there. That's about 10 years down the
okay,
line.
Okay, I didn't mean to jump ahead here. Shame on me for remembering these things.
We're talking about Ali in his prime.
Okay, Ali Frazier, Ali Norton.
Well, what this is come Saturday, this is definitely Ali Norton. This is a wannabe team. I can't give up Joe Frazier.
I think Ali did lose to Ken Norton one time. Norton broke his jaw.
It's possible. It's been a crazy year. It's possible. But let me ask you one serious question before I get off the line.
Okay.
Has Stetson Bennett grown 2 or 3 inches in the last 2 years?
No.
Seriously, answer that question.
I don't think so.
All right, so he's still the midget that couldn't see over the line 2 years ago that I seen in person. They better get JT Daniels ready because the Terminator's coming. We max protect, go over the top to Williams. We shock the world. That's right. We're the king, Georgia, not you. That's right, old Yeller. I'm in the ring. Come on, legend up.
Wonder if legends ever read about the end of the Roman Empire. Anyway, why am I going historical with legend? That's a waste of a breath. What I am going to say is that Bruce Feldman will be here shortly. He'll give us the lowdown on what happened in L.A. and Baton Rouge. And we are coming right back.